Well, good morning, everybody. If we haven't met yet, my name's Jamie. I get to be the pastor of East Cobb Church. So good to see you guys. And to get us started this morning, let me tell you a story. I want to tell you a story, the story of a man that many of you don't know that you know. I want to tell you the story of Horatio. Check that name. Gate Spafford, that's his name. Horatio Gate Spafford, he was born in 1828 in the city of New York, and then grew up and fell in love with and married Ann Larson in Chicago in 1861, where they settled. Over the next decade, their life would just turn out the way the standard American dream, you know, the way you always hope it turns out. They got married, they had four daughters in a relatively short amount of time, so four young daughters. He became a lawyer, rose to be a partner in his law firm, and then about a decade later, in the year of 1871, he invested all of his fortune, or most of it, that he had amassed at the time in real estate on the north side of the city of Chicago. That was in the spring. Unfortunately for him, in the fall, the Great Chicago Fire happened, if you've ever heard of that, and he lost all of his buildings and real estate holdings. So all of his wealth and the family's bank accounts just drained. Huge setback in their life. But they kept going to church. They were Presbyterians and they went to church faithfully and they just following Jesus. And a couple of years later, they decided we need to get a break from how hard life has been recently and decided to go to Europe. A famous preacher named D.L. Moody, some of you may have heard of him, he was going to Europe to do like a little evangelism tour. And they decided we're going to go support what he's doing and do some sightseeing while we're there. So they planned a trip to Europe. As it came time to leave, Horatio had a business deal that wasn't quite done and he needed to stay behind to finish it. But he put his wife and four daughters on a boat across the ocean and said, I'll follow close behind and join you in Europe. And this is where tragedy happened. Tragically, as they are en route to Europe, their ship, the Ville du Havre, collided with an iron sailing vessel and the ship sank. So Horatio gets notification, or he learns that there has been an incident, but he doesn't know the fate of his family until he gets a simple telegram from his wife sent from Cardiff, Wales. And the telegram simply said, saved alone. And so Horatio quickly books a ticket on a ship to go join his grieving wife and to be with her in this moment of tragedy. And as he's in transit, that's when it happens. It's when history happens. The history that you, many of you are aware of. So they're crossing the ocean and the captain somberly lets Horatio know, hey, we're passing over the spot where the wreck happened, where the boat sank. And it's said that Horatio walked up to the railing and he stood there looking over the waters as they passed by. And it was in this moment that he penned the now famous words, when peace, like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows, like sea billows, roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. We're in the middle of a series called My Story, My Song, and we've been unpacking a lot of the songs that we sing around our church. And those lines right there are the very first lines of the old hymn, It Is Well. It Is Well, a hymn that has been sung in churches literally all over planet Earth from 1871 until this day. It is on every single list of the most famous and most played worship songs in all of time. It's been remade and recorded and re-recorded by artist and band too many to count. And it's a song we sing here at East Cobb Church, and one that I've been singing my whole life, one that I heard my mom sing and my grandmother sing as I was growing up, and one that I've loved ever since. It is well with my soul. And I know that's a little heavier start than we normally have on a Sunday sermon, but I wanted to tell you that story because when you hear the song, if you know the story, you ask the right question about that song. And the question should be this, like, hey, why is that song so popular? Why is it so widespread? Why has it been sung all over the world? I mean, there's been millions of songs written for the church. Why this one? Is it because the melody's so great? And the answer is no, it's great, but that's not why. The reason this song has been sung all around the world is because it's in the title. It's in the title because every single one of us. One of the things that we want more than anything else, that we want deeply and we want badly, is to be able to say, it is well with my soul. It's well with my soul. Not just my body, not just well with my brain, not just well with my finances, not just well with my friendships and all of that. No, I want it to be well with my soul. I want it to be okay right here. If the term soul kind of throws you, or it's a nebulous idea to you, here's the simplest definition of your soul. Your soul is, well, it's you. It's you. Your soul is you. Like, you know this. You know that you're not just a body. You know you're not just the brain, that there's a you behind the flesh and blood. It's your soul. It's you. Scripturally, in the Bible teaches us that our soul is that eternal part of you that will be with God one day when we die, and that one day we'll have a new resurrection body. Or that's at least what Jesus taught. He taught that you're a soul. You have a soul. You're a soul, and you want it to be well with your soul. Now, you may not use those words. I understand that. You may say it like this. You may say, well, I want to be okay, or I want to be at peace, or I want to be satisfied. I want to be happy, or I just want to have hope. But this is what we mean. We want it to be well. We want it to be okay. And here, we want, we need, we were created for it to be well with our souls. But one thing that I don't have to ask to know with certainty is that it's not. It is not always well with our soul. Every single one of us in this room, we have had, many of us are having right now, and every single one of us will have in the future, experiences and moments when it is not okay in here, when it is not well with our soul. It's just one of the troubling universal experiences of life that everybody faces. One of those things we wish that our children didn't have to find out. The fact that this life and this world and people in it will wear down, unsettle, wound, and even wage war on our soul and give us reason after reason after reason to not be okay in here. Just a fact of life. And it stinks that that's the case. But it does explain a lot. It does explain a lot. An unwell soul is why so many of us are angry. An unwell soul is why so many of us are sad. An unwell soul is why so many of us are restless, why so many of us are jealous, why so many of us are insecure. An unwell soul is why so many of us are medicating. It's why so many of us are compromising. It's why so many of us are fighting. Why so many of us are running to things, looking for a solution. In fact, French theologian, Jesus follower, mathematician, inventor, a bunch of titles, Blaise Pascal, he once made this observation. This was his diagnosis of the human condition. He said, all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. Why? Because it's not well with his soul. It's not well with her soul. And that's why this song has resonated. It's not just the melody. No, it's the lyrics. Because how in the world can this man say it is well with my soul? Standing over, looking over the waters where his family's ship sunk. Like how in the world can he say that? Like, what's the secret? And more importantly, if he found a way to be well, for it to be well with his soul, can I? Can me and my family? Can we? And that's what we're gonna talk about today. We're gonna talk about how what happened to his soul can happen to your soul. And the secret is in the lyrics of these songs, in this song, in the verses of this song. The poetic, beautiful, well-crafted lines of the verses of the song, it is well. And the lyrics of this song are true and they're helpful, not because Horatio was just so wise or he was so eloquent. No, it's because every single truth in this song Horatio took and borrowed directly from the word of God. Like, this song is just a repackaging. It's like a condensing of the scriptures and the teachings of a God who not only made your soul, but he wants it to be well with your soul. So that's where we're headed. And just for starters, I wanna kind of get you in the game. You know, I've been thinking about this all week, so I wanna try to help you get in the game with me and thinking about this. I just wanna start with this question. Where is it not well with your soul? What about you? Where is it not well with your soul right now? Or where has it not been well recently? Or when it happens, where is it typically not well with your soul? Let me give you some categories maybe to help narrow it down as you're trying to think about you. In all of my years of meeting with people, you know, 15 plus years of being a pastor, I have found when someone's not well with someone's soul, typically it's from one or more of the following. It's from something in their past that they're ashamed of, or something in their present that they're afraid of, or something in their future that they're worried about. It's usually one or more of those. And of course, you could add nuance to that. Yeah, like especially the emotions. There's probably a drop-down menu of emotions that you'd be like, no, it's not that, it's this, right? Of course, that's the case, but it's probably when it relates to your life, it's probably not well with your soul because of something in your past that you're ashamed of, something in your present that you're afraid of, or something in your future that you're worried about. And that's what we're gonna talk about. I wanna talk about the verses of this song because what's really cool about the song is that the verses following the first one, they follow that same pattern. They talk about past, present, and future. Talk about past, present, and future. So as you're thinking about, how's it not well with your soul? How's it not typically well with your spouse's soul? And your kids' lives, man, what's making their soul not well as you're thinking about that? This song is gonna talk about our past, present, and future. And Horatio is gonna point us to the one who can, as the first verse said, teach us to say, teach us how to say, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. So that's what we're gonna talk about. We're gonna talk about the secret of finding peace in your past, the secret of finding peace with your present, and the secret of finding peace with your future. And I'm warning for you today, there's nothing that I'm gonna say that is gonna be a quick fix. Like what we're talking about today is not a bam, quick fix. The best that I can offer you today and the most this song is gonna offer you is what many of us around here like to call a trailhead. Like, you know, when you're hiking and there's like a beginning of a trail, it's like an invitation to go walk down this pathway. And that's what I wanna give you today as it regards to your past, your present, and your future. I wanna give you a trailhead to go walk down with God, a trailhead to go walk down with somebody in your life, go walk down with perhaps a mentor or a counselor, walk down with a pastor in your life. I'm happy to help if I can. And we wanna help connect you with those kind of those people in your life. But today is about an invitation to walk down a trailhead and journey towards finding the peace that attends your way. Peace like a river. So Horatio writes this first verse, this thesis statement, that God has taught me to say it is well. And then he dives into our lives, dives into his past and my past and your past. And he starts this next verse like this. He says, my sin, my sin. I mean, you don't even have to say more than that. Instantly an emotional rise, right? Sin is a church word that simply means my mistakes, my wrongs. You know, the sum total of times that I knew what was right, but did what was wrong, knew what God wanted me to do, but I said no and did something else instead. All that. And I don't know about you, but I got a really long record of sin in my life and in my story. The question is, have you ever had a past sin or a past season of sin haunt you? You know, like randomly it'll come up in your mind and totally ruin your day or ruin your week. Or maybe it's just always kind of there, just like weighing on you, you know? If that's you, you're not alone. The reason many of us in this room are not well in our soul is because something in our past that we're ashamed of or that we feel guilty over. And that includes things that you've done, right? Like a failure at work or a betrayal in your marriage or a season of recklessness or unhealth or a time you got caught in a lie, a time you crossed the line of something that was appropriate, a time of substance abuse, a struggle with anger issues, or just any time that you did something or you said something that you shouldn't have and it hurt, that you were ashamed and it stuck with you, it hung on you. But it's not just things that you've done that stay with us, that we've done that stay with us, it's also things that have been done to us as well, like a past rejection, or a past hurt, a past abandonment, a past wronging, a past abuse, past trauma, past injustice. Those things stay with us too. Actually, isn't that kind of crazy? Isn't it kind of crazy how we will carry other people's sins against us in the form of shame and guilt and just lug them along? That's why the past makes many of our souls not well. Why? Because of things we've done and things that others have done to us. But regardless of which it is, what in effect you're doing is you're carrying a debt. It's like this, I brought an actual invoice from my house. I realized this morning I haven't paid it, and I'm like, maybe before using it as an example, I should pay it, you know? But I hope Sean's not in the room. just kidding, he's not. This is an actual invoice from my house, right? It has my name on it, Jamie Dickens. And it is like, here's what he owes, right? Here's the list, here's what you owe, here's the debt that you have, and it's due, right? It's an invoice from my house, my name. And the truth is, many of you are like carrying one of these in your soul, on your soul. And it's why you're not well. It's just like weighing on you. Like every time you work up the confidence to go do something great, this is like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? Every time that you really start to believe in yourself, you really start to love yourself again, this thing is like, you're joking, right? Are you joking? Every time that you make a move to be the man or the husband that God's called you to be, the woman, the wife, the friend, the leader, the creator, the builder, the Jesus follower that God's called you to be, this is like, are you joking? That's not who you are. I know who you are. And this is just like hanging on your soul. And it's like a constant counterbalance against who you could be and all that you could do in this life. A constant counterbalance against who God says you are and what he's calling you to do in this life. This is the first unwellness of the soul that Horatio tackles. It's this right here. And if that's you, the song has hope for you. And for me, because the next words that he says doesn't make a lot of sense. He goes, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. And I hope this thought is blissful to some of you in the room today. He says, my sin, not in part, but the whole, has been nailed to the cross. And here it is. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Everybody in the room, why don't you just take a big breath in and let it out. What if there was a way to bear it no more? Horatio says there is. And it's like, well, how in the world can I bear it no more? How can you just toss aside what you've done and what others have done to you? And he says, well, it's because it's been nailed to the cross. That's why. The Apostle Paul writes about this. He writes about what God has done with this in your life, what he loves to do when you bring this list to him in your life. This is what he said. He said, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away. How? By nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. God's like, I've paid your balance. And what I love is actually the last part of this verse. It's not just that God nails your sin to the cross. He likes to gloat while doing it. I don't know if you caught that when it said disarm the powers and authorities. That's all of your accusers that Paul is talking about, both in the spiritual and the physical realm. Like the analogy is this, like it's like pretend you're standing up here and all of your accusers, which might include yourself, by the way, are in the audience. And God likes to, it's like, this is what God likes to do. God likes to walk up and be like, put his arm around you and be like, what y'all talking about? Oh, you're talking about why I shouldn't love him? Like all the reasons why he's not good enough? Can I see your list of all the reasons? Yeah. Bam, nailed to the cross. Oh, you got one too? Oh, that's neat. Can I see it for a second? Yeah, like, can I have that? Bam, nailed to the cross. Oh, you got a really long list of why she's not worthy and I shouldn't love her and she can't be with me. Can I see it for a second? Oh, gosh. Psych, bam, nailed to the cross, you know? That's God's posture towards you. So what he wants to do for you. And what I'm trying to say is this, that many of you are carrying around a charge that's already been canceled. Many of you, you're carrying around a debt that's already been paid. You're carrying around sin, whether it's what you've done or what somebody else has done to you, that's already been nailed to the cross. And I got good news for you today. If that's you, you can stop. You can stop carrying it. Why? Because its power has been broken. Its voice has been silenced. Its balance has been paid because it's been nailed to the cross. Your sin, not in part, but in whole, has been nailed to the cross and you bear it no more. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh your soul. And I just wonder today if anyone in the room needs to nail your sin and nail your shame and nail your guilt to the cross of Jesus Christ and say for the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, it is well with my soul. And if that's you, if something inside you going is like, yes, I need that. And this is your assignment this week. This is my challenge to you. You go walk down that trailhead with God and with some people in your life or a mentor or a counselor or your pastor or your small group leader. I'll help you if you need it. But you go walk down that trailhead. You go find in Jesus the permission and the freedom to throw that away. I gotta pay that. So let's keep that up here. So the song, man, this song, it has hope for our past. But the very next verse rips us right up into the present. He says in the next verse to begin it, though Satan should buffet and though trials should come. That's a right here, right now thing. Though Satan should buffet and though trials should come, for many of us, what's making it not well with our soul, it's actually not a sin of the past, it's a circumstance of the present. Like life was fine, but then something happened, you know? Life was fine, but then I got laid off. Life was fine, but then somebody got sick. Life was fine, but then we got divorced, or my kids started struggling, or things just stopped turning out like they were supposed to. I don't even know why, but life was great, and then now it's not. Something happened, and now you're not well. You're not well. We all know about life's trials. Those words are like, yeah, we know that. For some of us, though, that first line's a little confusing or mysterious. Though Satan should buffet. Buffet means to attack constantly. Here's what that's referring to. So this is something Jesus taught. Jesus taught us that we have an enemy. And his name is Satan, which literally means adversary. So when you hear the word name Satan, that's just translated means adversary. And he is a spiritual force who has an agenda for the physical world. And the scripture tells us that that agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy. That right now, he is on mission to steal, kill, and destroy. Use whatever your circumstances he possibly can to steal, kill, and destroy your joy and your peace and your hope and your confidence and your productivity and all that God wants to do in and through you and your life. And that's why the present makes so many of us unwell in our soul, right? Satan's buffets and life's trials. Because that's what we see, right? When sometimes you're standing in your present, you're like, dude, my eyes inform my soul. That's how it works. And all my eyes can see right now are the trials of life and the attacks of my enemy. It's the trials of life and the attacks of my enemy. And that's all I can see. And man, it's not looking good. Because I don't know if I am a match for that. Like, I don't know if I got what it takes from a resource standpoint, like an ability standpoint, a coping standpoint to figure all this out and make it through. Like, it's not looking good. It's not looking good. And if that's you, man, this song has something really powerful for you to claim in your present. Because the next words, he says, hey, when you're in that position, here's what you do. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control. Let this blessed certainty, like you can count on it, let it take control. Let it like rule the day. Rule your mind, rule your heart, rule your soul. And here's the assurance that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and he has shed his own blood for my soul. There's like two parts of that that are really cool and really great. One is that Christ has regarded my estate, meaning no matter what you're going through or know how hard it is or how dark it seems right now, Christ, God, is tuned into what's going on. In fact, Jesus says, God is so tuned into your situation, he has numbered the hairs on your head. Not counted, he is numbered. Like this one is number 3,476, you know what I mean? How tuned into somebody would you have to be to start numbering hairs on their head? That's how tuned in God is to you and your situation. So just for starters, even that observation is like, oh, well, that kind of makes my confidence bounce back a little bit. You know, that kind of makes my fear like subside a little bit, that God is aware and he cares. He's regarded my situation. But it's even better than that. Because it's not just that God is aware of your situation, it's that he's already done something about it. He has shed his own blood for your soul. The Apostle Peter, he describes it this way. He writes these words, for you know, right? You know this, right? You know that God paid a ransom to save you. Ransom is what you pay when somebody's kidnapped and you're buying them back. He paid a ransom to save you from the empty way of life that you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, though that would be flattering if God paid gold or silver for you. Nuh-uh. Those things lose their value. It was with the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He's ransomed you. And here's why that's practically important. I mean, you're like, oh, it's like spiritual talk. I don't even understand what that means. Let me tell you what it means. It means this. That's why it's important. Because on one hand, you have an adversary who's trying to make a claim on your life. And his claim is, he's mine. And I'm gonna steal, kill, and destroy. But onto the scene of your life has come Jesus with a counterclaim. And that counterclaim is, no, he's mine. No, she's mine. I have ransomed her. I have paid for him. And I got receipts, if you want to see them, right here. And I am here to give him life and life to the fullest. It's like this. I brought another example. So recently I gave my dog a bone, like in the park. It's like, threw it on the ground because he was being a good boy. But neither he or I noticed that there was another dog standing around. And that dog was a German Shepherd, okay? So a German Shepherd sees the dog bone. And there was this ensuing moment of competing claims, right? Like, and the only problem was, you know, the other one's a German Shepherd. And he was way bigger and he was way badder than my dog. My dog's like a golden doodle, okay? You know? He was like, I want the bone. And he goes, give me the bone. And Kobe did not walk away with his bone that day, you know? Just bigger and badder, no shot, you know? And my friends who are going through Satan's buffets and life's trials, you have the same thing going on in your life right now. You have competing claims going on in your life right now. And I just want you to know that the one who is for you is greater than the one who is against you. The one who is for you is greater than the one who is against you. So for like every way that the enemy is working against you, God is simultaneously working for you in each and every situation for your good and for his glory. And I gotta tell you, he's bigger and he's badder and no one's gonna stop him. And I just wonder who needs to stop comparing your trials and your enemies to yourself? Leads to fear, and start comparing your trials and your enemies to God. Because that leads to faith. Man, when I compare my circumstances to myself, I'm like, ugh! But when you start comparing them to God, your heavenly Father, that leads to fearlessness. That leads to, hello, if God is for me, who can be against me? That leads to no, in all of these things, in all of these trials, we are more than conquerors, for I'm convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor demons, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation is able to separate me from the love and the plan of my heavenly Father in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he's regarded my helpless estate and he's shed his own blood for my soul. So if that's you, that's your assignment this week. You go walk down that trailhead with your heavenly Father and with some people in your life or with your mentor or your small group or whoever it is. You take your ears and your eyes off of your circumstances and your enemy and you tune them into Jesus, the regarder and the purchaser of your soul. So man, this song has so much hope for us in our present. So much hope for what we face in our present. But then the next verse just rips us into the future, which of course is the third reason, the third bucket of why many of us, it's not well with our soul. Like we're worried about the future. I wrote down some questions. It's always questions. The future's, the worries of the future, the anxiety of the future, It's always in the form of a question. What's gonna happen? Will it work out? Will I be okay? Will I be happy? Will I stay healthy? Will he or she get better? Will he or she leave me? Will he or she forgive me? All the what ifs. What if he, what if she, what if they, what if it? And even stuff from the past, like how will what has happened play out in the future? Like what's our new normal now? Like what's even left now? Like what's life even gonna be like? We all know very well the anxiety that comes from the uncertainty of the future. And if that's you, some of you are like, ringer, dead bullseye. Well, this song has hope for you. This song has something for you to hold on to that has the power to make it well with your soul. And it's this. Well, let me say first, I understand before I just get into it, I know some of you might naturally be resistant to me saying that, right? Some of you might be going, well, that's cute and all, but like you don't know what's going on with us, with me. You don't know how bad it is. How scary the future looks right now. That's easy for you to say. Until you realize and remember that you're arguing with a man who's standing over the waters where his family's ship went down. Who's staring down an entire lifetime without his little girls. And so like you can literally hear the, what's the word? Ache, desperation when he writes, and Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. God, will you haste the day when my faith shall be sight? Because I know where my girls are. I know they're with you. And I know one day I'm gonna be too. And on that day, we're gonna pick back up where we left off. I believe it. I know it's coming, but Lord, could you haste the day? Could you haste the day? And he starts quoting the book of Revelation that John wrote. It talks about that day when Jesus will return. He said, the clouds are gonna be rolled back like a scroll. The trump shall resound, instrument, not president. And the Lord shall descend. And it's gonna be huge and crazy and perhaps terrifying. But he said, even so, oh, it's gonna be well with my soul. And I think this father would look at you and me and any of us who are not well in our soul as we peer into the future. And he would say, hey, don't forget. Like, I know it's dark. I know it looks brutal or hard or whatever, but don't forget. Don't forget the good news of Jesus that is secured for those of us who've opted in, who've given our lives to Jesus and offered to everybody else in the whole wide world. The good news of Jesus is not just that he gets personally involved in the present life, in this present life. It's that he has secured everything for you in the next life. He secured everything for you in the next life. The Apostle John, same passage, writes about the next life. And he's like, in this vision that God gave him, he's trying to write it down. He's like, I see a new heaven and a new earth and a new city of Jerusalem. But this is the verse I wanted to read to you. He said, I heard a loud voice coming from the throne and it said, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people and he will dwell with them and they will be his people and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain for the old order of things has passed away and Jesus is making everything new. That's how it can be well with your soul when you face the future, even when there's storm clouds on the horizon. Why? Because you know the day is coming. You know the day is coming. You already know the day is coming when Jesus is gonna fix what's broken. He's gonna heal what's hurt. He's gonna restore what's been lost. He's gonna redeem what's been ruined and he's gonna bring back to life what's died forever. I brought one final analogy just to like make, here's how I think about it. Recently, somebody got me onto this sci-fi series called Red Rising. So I read the first book. I was like, all right. The hero in here, his name is Darrow. So I start on audiobook, I'm listening to it and couple chapters. But the one time I get back in the car and I turn it on and Darrow is talking, but I realize nothing he's saying makes any sense. I'm like, what? What? Is this make, none of, I don't know what he's even talking about. Like, what's going on? And I realized that I had accidentally went to the last chapter of the book and it was playing in my car. And I was like, no, you know, just ruining stuff, okay? So I got frustrated and I went and got the paperback and I read it. And it was good, man. It's pretty action-packed. But you know which character I was never worried about? Who? Yeah, Darrow. I mean, I was like, dude, no matter what predicament that dude got in, I was like, ah, he's fine. He's gonna make it. Don't worry. He's gonna be fine. He'll get out of it. And why is that? Because I'd read the end of the story. I'd already read the end of the story. And my friends who are Jesus followers and all who are invited to be so in this room, hearing my voice today, the same is true of you. You're in the same position. You know how the story ends. Or at least you do now. I just told you. You know how the story ends. And that means that you have the incredible ability to make a shift in your life and for your soul that will change everything. And that is the shift from worrying and wondering to waiting. Two hugely different things. Meaning, I'm not wondering if it's gonna be okay. I'm waiting for it because the day is coming. I'm not wondering if this pain or this hardship or this trial is gonna pass. I am waiting on it because I know the day is coming. I'm not wondering if I'm gonna see her again or him again. I am waiting on it because I'm waiting on the day when God is gonna answer every prayer and make good on every single promise. I'm waiting on the day. And I wonder who needs that for their soul today. I wonder who needs that for their soul today. I'm not wondering, I'm waiting. I'm waiting because the day is coming. The day is coming. It might be in the next week. It might be in the next month. It might be in the next year. It might be in this life, or it's gonna be in the next. One's gonna be one or the other. It's already on the counter. I'm not wondering, I'm just waiting. I'm not wondering, I'm just waiting. And I wonder who needs that. I wonder who needs that. Lord, the day is coming. So haste the day when my faith shall be sight. Because yeah, it's scary, yeah, it's hard. Will you haste the day when my faith shall be sight, when the trump be rolled back like a scroll? I mean, the clouds will be rolled back like a scroll. The trump's gonna resound, the Lord's gonna descend, and in that moment and forevermore, it will be well with my soul. And that's the chorus of the song. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And what I wanna tell you is simply this: what Horatio found, you can too. Why? Because what God did for him, he's ready to do for you. He's ready to do for you. So which trailhead do you need to walk down this week, this season of your life? Is it your past? Well, if so, then go walk in the truth that it is canceled. Your debt's been paid. Is it the present? Well, then go walk in the truth that you are claimed and the one who is for you is greater than the one who is against you. Or is it the future? Well, so then you go walk in the truth that the day is coming and you hold on to that. Go walk in the way of wellness. Go journey in it. And we wanna help. For some of you, you know, the journey would start by receiving Jesus, by giving your life to him. I mean, I sure hope the principles of this help you, even if you don't believe in God. You know, the principles of like, you gotta let go of the past and you gotta, you know, break the power of the claim of fear in your present, and you gotta have a vision of the future that you hold on to, that you're confident in. And like, yeah, I hope that really helps you. But I mean, in the end of the day, I believe that all of these things, they ultimately and only come from Jesus. Some of you, that would be the first step. And if you wanna put your faith in Jesus and give your life to them, I'd love to help you do that. Come down front, we'll pray today. This journey might also require allies. It's probably not a solo thing. Like, you might need to journey down this path, like I said, with some friends or with a small group leader, with a mentor, with a counselor, with a pastor, and we would love to help you do that. Don't journey alone. Journey also might require some demolition. You know, like when you're doing a reno, sometimes you gotta take away something in order to put in something new. You know how that works? Some of you are gonna need to do that. Some of you are gonna need to uproot some lies in order to make room for the truth. Some of you are gonna need to dismantle what shame, fear, and anxiety have built in your life so that you and God can build something new in your life. Some of you are gonna need to disagree with and take a stand against your enemy so that you can agree with and stand with God. So it might involve any and all of the above, but you're invited. God's inviting you. Hey, come with me. Come walk down this trail with me. Come walk down this trail with me. You're invited. God has so much more for you. In fact, we're gonna have a time of response today. And we're gonna sing the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And I hope you'll use that song to respond to whatever God's putting on your heart. But some of you know, man, I said past, present, or future, and you're like, I need to walk down that trailhead. I need to go down that path. Like, I need it. And I want to suggest as a great first step that you have the courage. You don't have to do this, just, but I want to suggest it, is that you come pray over your past, your present, and your future. We're going to have our pastoral team down here and some of our prayer team down here. You guys can come up ahead. But I think a great step for you to come down front and let's pray over your past, your present, and your future. And here's my offer to you. If you would like someone to pray over your past or pray over your present or pray over your future or that of someone you love or someone in your family, we would love to do that. Prayer does have that power. Prayer has the power to both remove and to bestow. So if you would like someone to pray against the shame, fear, and anxiety of your past, present, or future and pray for the peace like a river that attends your way into your life, a prayer of peace over your life, come down and let's pray. Or let's pray for somebody that's close to you and loves you and you know needs this because prayer has that power. So as we sing, let's respond. Let's respond so that it may be well with our soul.